Welcome to the Thriving Abroad Inspiring Expat Interviews podcast. I'm Evelyn Simpson, director and co-founder of Thriving Abroad, where we help couples create lives and careers they love while they're living overseas. We created this podcast to share expat stories that will inspire you and expert advice to help you navigate expat life. If you want to help organize and systemize your business, our guest today, Natasha Vorompiova, founder of Systems Rock, is the person to talk to. Natasha's a Ukrainian expat living in Belgium. She achieved success in her corporate career working for a variety of organizations. When she moved to Belgium with her family 6 months after her son was born, she couldn't find a job. So she decided to start a new consulting business working from home. She got off to a bit of a rocky start until she realized that she could apply what she had learned about systems to her new professional life. Once she nailed the system she needed for success, she found she was able to take back control of her life. She realized that she was not the only person with a home-based business who was struggling with that issue, so she worked out how she could bring her systems philosophy to a broader audience, and Systems Rock was born. Welcome, Natasha, and thanks for joining me today.
It's such a pleasure, Evelyn. Thank you so much for having me.
I've told our listeners a little bit about your background, but why don't you tell us the whole story?
Yes, absolutely. So we did move to Belgium when my son was only 6 months old, and I still held a part-time position with a law firm. We moved from Cyprus to Belgium before moving to Belgium.
Okay.
I was working and living there. So I kept that part-time job just not to be completely without a job.
Yeah.
When I moved to Belgium. And one of the challenges that I ran into already in Belgium was that I did not know the languages that I needed. So
yeah.
I knew Russian, I knew English, I knew Greek. But I realized that neither of those languages actually needed as much here in Belgium as Flemish, French, German, and I did not speak any of those languages. So
yes.
I couldn't find even a simple job, like a waitress or a receptionist, like nothing. I had to know languages first and foremost, and like that was not something I could kind of learn overnight. So I did start going to university to learn Flemish, because we live in the Flemish area. But at the same time, I had to start earning money, and the part-time job was not enough. So I decided to start a home-based business. And I knew that I'm good at marketing. That's something that I've done back when I was in the corporate world.
Yeah.
So that was my kind of direction that I was going to go. So I was going to be a marketing consultant, and like, I would just have a website, and people will just say, come and hire me. And
build it and they will come, right?
Exactly. Of course, I quickly realized that it was not going to be as easy, because I also did not know anything about even social media. So it was very new to me I was new to running a business.
Yeah.
And running an online business, that was just like this whole new kind of universe that I had to discover and learn about. And that's something that really, that became very, very overwhelming for me, because I had a little baby. I was working part-time. I was going to the university to learn Flemish. I had a household to run because my husband travels a lot.
Yeah.
So, like, after all those hours, I would have to like, find time to sit down and learn about how you run an online business.
Yeah, that's already about six jobs, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, balancing all these roles, I find this is something, like, I know that I'm not the only one doing that, but this is something for us, especially women, is very challenging because there are so many things that we need to take care of day to day.
Yeah.
And that's why in the beginning it was very, very difficult for me. And I couldn't figure out how to bring order into my day to day. And what was very frustrating was that I knew myself as an organized person. Back when I was working for companies, I held positions where I organized others and yeah. I run projects, and everything was so effortless. It was just like things were happening, and here I was, like, not knowing how to organize my workload and myself. At some point, I was even I started using chores like vacuum cleaning or doing laundry as kind of that escape route, because it was way too much kind of to sit down and try and figure out these business related things and activities that I needed to do. And at some point, I just sat down and I'm just like, okay, like let's analyze what was working before and why was it working, and what I don't have right now that I can bring from the days of working for corporations to my day to day.
Yeah.
And something that I realized was that there I had a structure. At home, I did not have a structure because there are way too many things that I needed to do.
Yeah. But
at the same time, there were things that I could start experimenting with and try to turn what I was doing day to day into a bit more kind of a streamlined chain of things that I do. So yeah. Those were my initial kind of test systems that I started experimenting with. And to my surprise, after a while, they started working, because as I was learning what I needed to be doing for my business and things that needed to happen around the house, and how much time and like what I needed to spend learning the language, all of that kind of started falling into places, kind of like puzzle pieces.
Yeah.
And slowly my sanity returned, and I was able to organize things in a way that, okay, it was still a lot to do and I was still very much behind on my to-do list, but at least I wasn't like pulling my hair out or questioning whether I was the right person to run a home-based business, because there were times where I was just like, well, maybe there are some people who are kind of made for that and I'm not that kind of person. And what came after that was that as I started experimenting with my own systems, like I would have conversations with the friends that I made in this online world, and I would share with them what I was learning about my own ways of doing things and kind of the system that I was creating for myself, and they would find it fascinating, and they would start either taking my exact systems and applying to their day-to-day, or kind of taking that the initial seed and then adjusting that system to their needs, and it would start working for them too.
Yeah.
Which made me realize that, okay, like, this is something that I can actually share, and as I learn more about systems myself, because I knew that without systems I can't really survive, like that was clear to me. So my initial kind of going into teaching systems was that I knew that if I have to teach them or like find kind of methodology to create systems for people who run businesses from home, I will push myself to learn more about those systems and experiment with more systems myself. So it was a bit selfish in the beginning, but I started loving with what I was doing so quickly, and it was just something that was bringing joy to me. So I stopped going in the direction of becoming a marketing consultant. It was kind of an overnight decision to call my company Systems Rock.
Yeah.
And it just things snowballed from there, but it was really very kind of unexpected epiphany that I ran with after that.
Yeah, we've followed your blog for quite some time now, and I have to say I've taken a lot of information and a lot of the systems that you talk about have proved very useful for us as well. So we're glad you're blogging and you had that epiphany.
Thank you, Evelyn.
Now, you've been living as an expat for a number of years. How has that affected what you've done in business, both good and bad?
Well, because I'm here by myself, I mean, I have my husband and we have a family and he has relatives, I don't really have much support. So from the very beginning, I knew that I had to organize my business in such a way that I have time to take care of my son. And I also have time for other things.
Yeah.
So something that was very clear to me in the very beginning was, okay, what should my schedule look like so I can accommodate my son's needs and also accommodate the needs of my clients, because for the most part I work with people who live in the US.
Yeah.
So that presents its own set of challenges because of the time difference. So
yeah.
To me, something that I had to really be intentional about is how I work and how that routine for me looks like, so that I don't work around the clock, because
yeah.
it's very easy to do that. So to me, working from home and being an expat here and not having much support as like somebody who kind of has this large extended family, since that's not possible to me, I knew that I had to set up my systems in a way that I get everything done and don't have to rely on others. So that's definitely good. And as for bad, what I had to build into my business budget is trips. Because I still want to visit and meet face-to-face people I work with or just new people. I still go to conferences only. Like I try going a couple of times a year to the US to different conferences. And it's quite challenging. It's less challenging now that my son is a bit older. It was really, really challenging before, because my husband is away for quite extended periods of time.
Yeah. we know how that one goes.
Exactly. So I do feel that at times I have to put my needs second, but at the same time, I know that for somebody who is working from home, I have much more flexibility and kind of wiggle room to find a solution versus somebody who works at an office.
Yeah. What strikes me listening to you is that you obviously have a very clear picture of your priorities.
Yeah. Yes. My family comes first, for sure. My son. The rest kind of supports that.
Yeah. We obviously work with a lot of expats and expat partners in particular who are starting or think they want to start businesses. And it's something we emphasize to them, is making sure that they're clear on their priorities, because having your own business is is a huge commitment. And yes, it can give you some flexibility to manage your own hours, but if you want it to be a successful business, however you define that, and to provide some financial support for you, you have to have a certain commitment, and it can't just be something that you do now and again.
Yes.
And people don't always have that clear picture of what they're going to need to do.
Yep, totally agree.
What skills have you learned living in other countries, just from living in a different country and culture, that have been helpful to you in building your business?
Well, I was born in Ukraine. Then I moved to Cyprus for my first degree. Then I moved to the States for my second degree. I came back to Cyprus. I lived very briefly in Greece, and now I'm in Belgium. So it's been kind of like traveling back and forth, I feel like. But I think the biggest thing that I took away is that I want to say tolerance, even like I don't mean anything negative with that, but it's just like being very, very understanding of other cultures and the fact that different people have different approaches and yeah. They think about things possibly differently than I do, but it doesn't mean that it's wrong. So for yeah. me, it's what I'm very sensitive of now is looking at the other person's point of view and allowing that to be just as valid as my own.
Yeah. Yeah. And how has that translated to the way that you do business?
Well, this is something that allows me to feel that there are no boundaries at all. Because yeah. I do now, most of my clients are in the US and Canada, but I work with people who live in Australia and in New Zealand. And naturally now I have more people who live in Europe. And I don't even notice at this point any cultural differences. I yeah. mean, references are different, and like sometimes the jokes that we make, like we have to explain the jokes to each other. But at the same time, it's such a great conversation starter and just a great way to build relatedness. Because I did a training back in January, and it was kind of 5-day training. And every day I would get on the call with a group of ladies, and it started again during the first training. I made reference to something. I tried to find this kind of idiom that yeah. I couldn't really properly say, and then they started helping me out. And like somehow by the end of the fifth day, like every single time without my doing it on purpose, like I would mess up one of the idioms, and like then they would jump in to correct it, or I would say something. I know, like, how does this go? How does this saying go? And it was just like such a like fun thing at the end to kind of look back at and just laugh at.
Yeah.
And I feel fine to be the person they laugh at, and like, that it's fine with me that I don't know these things, because it's their culture, but they allow me to be a part of their culture and their world, and yeah. I'm for that, immensely grateful. So I love the fact that I work with so many different nationalities, and I get to learn about other cultures and the ways
yeah.
people run their businesses or what they do through their eyes and through their businesses.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you've worked with some pretty amazing people, particularly in the online marketing world, and there's some real buzz around what you do. At what moment did you say, yep, this business idea works, and this is the business that is for me for a long time?
I can't recall a particular moment except for I do remember the moment when I came up with the name Systems Rock, because I'm not the kind of person who is good at headlines or slogans or taglines. This is not my forte. But that name came to me as if it was just like meant to be. And yeah. I've been receiving compliments about the name of my business ever since I started.
It's a great name.
So I think to me that was kind of that definitive moment that from where I really knew the direction in which I was going to go, and I never regretted doing that. I remember it's something that came. I remember it suddenly maybe a couple of years ago when I was in college. I went. I was doing this internship.
Yeah.
And after the first month, I remember going to the office, and I had all of a sudden this like panic attack. I was just like, I was walking there and thinking to myself that, okay, by that time I've already had several jobs or internships, or because I was also working to pay for college, so it was not my first job. But what I noticed was that the first month was exciting, exhilarating, because I was learning new things. I was kind of like, every day was something new.
Yeah.
I had to deal with the next challenge. And then after a while, once the things would kind of just like get to normal and everything, like all I needed to do is do the same thing over and over again, I would get so bored. And I had this panic attack that, okay, like I've held until now these internships for like 3 months at a time.
Yeah.
And after the first month, I get bored. Whatever happens once I am quote unquote in the real world and I get the job and I have to stay at the job for years, I was sweating and I was just like, I was terrified. I was so scared that I would be in that situation where I will not enjoy what I'm doing anymore. So once I finished college, I was in that position for quite a few years. I think altogether it was 7, I think, years that I worked in 2 or 3 companies. There was every single time after that like, elation period in the very beginning, I would get into this like state of just like dragging my feet every morning to the office. And then once I started my business, okay, it was incredibly difficult. And as I mentioned, I was questioning whether I'm built for this.
Yeah.
But never ever did I get bored.
There's always something new to learn when you're running your own business, isn't there?
It's been such an amazing learning experience. And I failed so many times, and so many things that I tried did not work, or I spent money on something that I looked back and said, oh my God, Natasha, you are so stupid for doing that. Like, where was your head when you were making decisions to even test that? So it's not like it was going so like everything is coming together so effortlessly, and I've not been making mistakes, but it's been such an amazing journey, and I'm enjoying it every single day. So I think that moment of just picking the name Systems Rock kind of just like defined the fact that this is something that I'm doing and I will enjoy doing.
Fantastic. It's always great to hear when people have found their thing.
I know. Yes, I agree. No, because I hear so many people teaching or guiding others how to find their passion, and like my heart goes to those people who are still looking for their passion and not finding it, because I totally get how frustrating that is, and I'm for the fact that I have found mine, I'm very grateful.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, many of our listeners are expat partners who have had to rethink their professional lives as a result of moving, and they end up doing that juggle that you've been talking about. And part of that is often for them running home-based businesses or freelancing. So tell us how your systems help home-based entrepreneurs and professionals to succeed.
Well, what I help my clients with is actually set up those back end systems, something that will allow them to juggle everything that they're juggling.
Yeah.
And if you look at the business side of things, what we always look at is what they do on a repetitive basis. Because to me, if something is done more than once, if something is done daily, weekly, monthly, you can create a checklist for it. You can create kind of a template for it that you can follow, not to reinvent the wheel over and over again. Just like with the guidelines that you sent me for this interview, which were fantastic. It's such an amazing way to summarize the information, share it with another person, and not spend like back and forth answering that person's questions or finalizing last-minute details. The system that you have in place for doing this podcast is amazing, and it allows me as a person who is being interviewed kind of to know what to expect and totally feel prepared for the interview. And for you, it's something that like, you just go through the checklist. Okay, this needs to happen first, this needs to happen next, and you don't need to scramble last minute to make sure that everything goes well. So my advice is that look for those places where you do things repetitively and see how you can outline those steps so that you have that checklist for yourself. And yes, a lot of times we know what goes into, I don't know, writing a blog post or uploading a blog post or something like that. But when we get interrupted or when something else comes up and we need to take care of that urgently and we have to stop, coming back to that like mini project or task will be that much easier if you know where you left off and like what you've done already. So that will save you immense amount of time and then allow you also not to keep everything that needs to be done in your head, because like that's something that doesn't work. I've tried it.
Oh yeah, us too. And actually, it's been reading your blog and looking at some of the stuff that you've been doing where we've just said, yeah, we are doing the same things over and over and over again. And maybe we can make this better and easier. And part of what has given us the impetus to create more systems is we started working with a virtual assistant. So then it's not, the knowledge has to get out of our heads and be delivered to someone else. So then we really started thinking for some of the things that we were handing over, okay, we have to be very clear about how we want this done. Otherwise, we're setting our VA up for failure. So that was a big step for us as well.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And it's very important to create very clear instructions so that people that you are working with can actually deliver the kind of work you expect them to deliver. And it's something that will also allow you not to depend on one specific person, because it's easy to teach somebody who say comes into your office and like you show them like what they need to do and they are doing it, but then something might happen. And especially with us who move a lot, and like sometimes we have to hand that same task off to somebody else. So when you have this clear step by step, you can give it to anybody and you can rest assured that it will be done in the way that you want it to be done.
Yeah. Now, globally, mobile families have notoriously complicated lives. I think the more countries, there's an exponential relationship between the number of times you move and the complexity of your home admin. How can they use systems in their personal lives to help them to have more time to focus on the personal and professional activities that really count?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there are two things that I would recommend. One, pick a tool where this information will live. It can be easily Evernote. It can be something more like a task project management tool like Asana. Both of them, you can use them in free versions for storing this information. And in terms of storing information, again, I'll go back to my previous example of creating a checklist for something that happens on a regular basis. And for us who move a lot, it can be a checklist. Okay, I am moving. These are the things that need to happen every single time that I move.
Yeah.
So that can be a checklist. There can be just a list of ideas if you have, for example, favorite stores that you shop online, so that you don't really have to change at least that part when you move to a new country. If you order something online, so you can have this category, online stores by category that you always go to do shopping for certain items. You can easily store information in either Evernote or even Asana with maybe medical history. It can be something, because when we go to the doctor in the new country, they have to have access to certain information. They have to know what is happening. So you can have those documents, say, scanned into Evernote and share them with your new doctor. So these little things that happen over and over again that you find yourself searching for every single time, or again, reinventing the wheel every single time it happens again, it's a perfect place to see how you can build a little system around that activity.
Yeah, and I have to ask you a kind of a follow-on question that I was just thinking about. I'm sneaking in an extra here, but one of the things that I tend to do with systems is I start a system and then for something changes and maybe it doesn't work for a while, and then I just abandon it completely and chaos is back in my life. What do you recommend for people who are trying to create systems but just not finding the system that works or not giving it enough time?
Well, first of all, what happens to you is not something rare. It happens to me too. So it's perfectly normal, because it is very important to find or tweak that system so that it fits you kind of almost like a glove.
Yeah.
Because everything that we do needs to be tweaked to our personalities, our ways of doing things, our environment. So it's perfectly okay that if you find yourself that, okay, like the system doesn't work, or it might work in one country, but then you move and it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
So that is perfectly fine. The remedy for that is just set kind of maybe depending on your schedule, but say every couple of months you set aside, say, an hour of your time and look back and see, okay, this is working, this is not working. Do I have system for this already? Let's review and pinpoint the parts that do not work.
Yeah.
So that will help you to not to get too far from not being able to use this system completely. Because especially in the beginning, and especially if system worked in some regards, all you need is just a number of tweaks. So
yeah,
having that system outlined, say, as a step-by-step or something in your kind of information management hub, again, Evernote, Asana are fantastic tools for that, will allow you to see them at a glance and pinpoint the parts that don't work. And once you figure out what exactly doesn't work, then you will look at, okay, is it something that needs to be changed, or do I need kind of whole new set of steps altogether?
Yeah. And you've mentioned Evernote and Asana, which I know are two tools that you really like. And but for people who aren't familiar with those tools, you have, I believe you have guides to using those tools for organizational systems on your website.
Yes, that's correct. Because I strongly believe it happens to be that the tools that I talk a lot about are Evernote and Asana, and partially because they are, like, there is free version of Evernote, yeah. There is free version of Asana, so it's something like very low barrier to like start using that tool. You just open it up and use it. The reason I chose two tools because they are very different. One, Evernote appeals more to visual people. Asana is kind of more like list-based application with more structure. But I strongly believe in using as few tools as possible because it's very easy these days to have all these gadgets. And like, don't get me wrong, I love my gadgets too. And like every time somebody, like I see this thread on like Facebook or something about, oh my God, I found this tool and this and that. And like, I can't resist it to go and look. And like for a split second, I get tempted to just like jump on that tool and just like move all my stuff there. So it happens to me too. But I do believe that we have to have like one single information and task management tool where everything flows into.
Yeah.
So that we don't have to try to remember, okay, where did I save this thing? Where did they find that thing?
Oh, guilty, guilty.
No, and it's see, for me, I do save information in Evernote, and I also have Dropbox. So it's not kind of just like completely abandoning everything, but say for Evernote, I know that these are the types of information that I save there. And like these are the shortcuts that I have there if I need something on the go. Dropbox is more for kind of long-term and projects and different versions of documents and something that I need to have in Word. So I know which tool I use for what, and that allows me to kind of have a better idea of where to look for something when I need something. But say with tasks, we all have to build this habit and like really be intentional about it, because again, like for me, it's not something that I do naturally, to put everything into the same tool and not have different lists everywhere and kind of mental notes and like Aqua notes and in the bathroom and stuff like that.
Yeah. Great advice. Now, listen, I know you've got to run, but just finally, if our listeners are interested in learning more about you, about Evernote and Asana, about Systems Rock, tell us where we can find you online.
Well, my home, my digital home is systemsrock.com. So that's the best place to start your journey with systems. Something that I'm working on right now is creating a better experience for people who visit my site, because I will have categories depending on like where you are in your business and what kind of systems you have. So I think by the time this interview goes live, that part of the site will be ready as well.
Fantastic.
But if anything, natasha@systemsrock.com, shoot me an email, ask a question if you're struggling with anything, if you're not sure how to create a structure around something, I'll be more than happy to answer your email.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure learning about you, Systems Rock, and how we can all use systems to make our lives better. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Evelyn.
If you enjoyed this episode of Inspiring Expat Interviews, please subscribe and leave a review for us on iTunes. If you'd like to know more about what we do at Thriving Abroad, you can find us at www.thrivingabroad.com, on the Thriving Abroad Facebook page, and on Twitter, where we're at Thriving Abroad. If you're an expat who's interested in making the most of your international experience and sharing wisdom and tips in a safe, private environment, ask to join our closed Thriving Abroad Facebook group. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for our next conversation about successful life and work abroad.